Welcome to Homily Studio for the fourth Sunday of Eastertide, Good Shepherd Sunday. Your regular host, Father John O'Connor, is off at a priest's retreat. I'm Father Merv Duffy, and my day job is to lecture in theology to seminarians and anyone else interested in Auckland at Te Kupinga Catholic Theological College. With me today is this brave and fearless duet.
Hey, I'm Trina. My job is technically the archivist for the diocese, but probably the bigger job I have is being a mom to two teenagers.
I'm Jason. I'm an IT manager from Christchurch, and I have five children, but my wife does all the work. So I think my day job is the bigger job.
So let's begin by reflecting on the fourth Sunday of Easter by praying its collect. Let us pray. Almighty, ever-living God, let us share in the joys of heaven, so that the humble flock may reach where the brave shepherd has gone before, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
So let's start our reflection by sharing one word or phrase from today's liturgy that struck you. For the moment, I just want the word or phrase. We'll talk about why later.
The last sentence of the gospel, I came that so that they might have life and live it more abundantly.
For me, it was when he was insulted, he returned no insult from the second reading.
For me, it was actually the collect prayer. The humble flock may reach where the brave shepherd has gone before. And this idea of following. Okay, why expand? Trina, why did you go with that they may have life and have it more abundantly?
Because it's such a positive ending, and I find things sometimes full of doom and gloom in the liturgy. In the first reading, save yourself from the corrupt generation, and goes on and talks about all the suffering Jesus, and I know that's so important, but I do like the positive aspect. So I came so that they may have life and live it more abundantly, not I came to wipe away sins. I came, so that you're going to suffer for the rest of your life as Catholics. Like that wasn't what that's not the message here. It's that your life is better off by having Jesus in it. Just like the 3,000 people that Peter baptized in the first reading, there's a reason why we follow Jesus, and it is because you have that abundant life, not necessarily physically, but it's definitely emotionally and definitely spiritually. So I love the positivity of that, and it just makes you want to go, hell yeah, I want that too.
I reckon Irish Catholicism has that thread of negativity in it. And which, of course, Irish Catholicism has affected New Zealand Catholicism hugely.
Yeah, but it's all doom and gloom. And if you're not suffering, you're not a good Catholic. Like that's what I used to think.
Yeah, and offer it up.
Yeah. Everything. and that's why it's actually great for me as a cradle Catholic, as they call it, to actually be reading the Gospels properly and hearing this message, which is so different to what the nuns drummed into us at home.
It is good news, isn't it?
There seems to be also a note with that. I like it. Like, it's not often the messages like we'll have abundant life later or in heaven or just, but life now is for suffering. But there seems to be like have it more abundantly seems a now, like a present. That we're to live abundantly now. I love that.
So we're not selling heaven in the hereafter. We're not selling suffering as some sort of thought that suffering is good. We're trying to communicate life, and we're recommending any homilist working with the gospel on Good Shepherd Sunday try to not terrify the sheep, but to gently lead them towards life, towards green pastures. Jason, you were in the second reading.
When he was insulted, he returned no insult. when he suffered, he did not threaten. That whole passage, I don't know how good or useful this is for a homilist, but I know, and I guess in the past year, particularly for me, in my personal life, there have been lots of incidents and things where my reaction and the advice from people around me in a certain situation is to get justice, to get or revenge in some cases. And that is that passage in the second reading is such a counterpoint to that. And it's I'm finding that I really struggle with that. Particularly, it's easy to do it when, like, my children or my wife do something mean to me, I can suck it up. But when someone I really don't like or don't get on with is constantly offering me insult, or to be able to not return that is incredibly difficult. And I'm realizing more and more I can't do it without Christ. I can't do it without the Holy Spirit. It's not something I'm capable of doing on my own.
And it is absolutely fundamental to the message of Jesus. This for love your enemies, and turn the other cheek. There's a cycle of violence where, and I reckon sort of post COVID and post earthquake and everything else, there's a sort of everybody's stressed, and it's very easy to sort of feed into that and lash back at people.
It's like the online trolls, like that's all they do. They just sit and make nasty comments just for the sake of it. And you kind of, you read through and you just have to kind of step back and go, you know what? No, not going to engage. It's hard, and it's harder in the world we're living in now because so many different ways to be insulted, not just face-to-face like in the old days. They can do it online, they can do it via text, they can do it via email. You're just bombarded, so it makes it a lot harder.
I also find it interesting, it's I guess particularly in the last 6 months, I've noticed a greater demand from lots of people on what's owed them, what's their due, and what natural justice demands, even if they have been wronged or whatever. And so there's that clamoring in society for people to be paid back or to be compensated. And
we'd like the government to sort it out.
Yeah, but. I'm not necessarily saying that's bad or wrong, but that passage there is, that's quite a different way of approaching things, and the way that we're asked, the way Christ is asking us to deal with things.
Now, how do we take that without the glorying in suffering, which Trina was suggesting is not a good thing? You know, we don't want somebody to stay in an abused relationship. We don't want somebody who is being bullied to stay silent about what's going on. We don't want you suffering or being a doormat as a Christian. We want you to have life and have it more abundantly. So what is the Good Shepherd calling us to? What's this gospel saying to us, or this Sunday saying to us?
The reality is we're not perfect. Like, you know, Jesus, when he was insulted, he returned no insult. And like my husband always says, well, you know, I'm not perfect because the last perfect man they crucified, you know, it's that whole line. Like, it's not that we can do this all the time. We are going to fail. We are going to be the sheep wandering off and kind of doing our thing, but knowing that the shepherd will bring us back. I think it's a guide rather than a directive. if that makes sense.
I think the other thing is you can't, to do that, you have to be in a relationship with Jesus. Like, you have to know his voice, and there's a discernment involved. You can't, you have to be listening and constantly aware to the promptings of the Holy Spirit of what you're being asked to do in a particular situation. So I think the biggest thing is, like knowing his voice and following him. That's how you can live it out.
He walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. But they will not follow a stranger. They will run away from him because they do not recognize the voice of strangers. there are a lot of voices in this world for people, aren't there?
And it's something I've always said as well, if your own faith can't get you through, and if your own faith, you can't hear the voice through that, then listen to others. Like, you know, quite often other people's faith have got me through those kind of muddy patches where I'm off down the mountain and I'm supposed to be up the hill in the gate. So sometimes the voices come from the place you'd least expect it.
And Jason, you talk of discerning the spirit, recognizing what is good and what isn't.
Yeah, well, and it's even more than that. With something we've been working on with our children, particularly leading up to Easter, and is that often discernment's not between a good and a bad, because it's easy to pick, well, what's good and what's bad, or it should be, not that I get that right. But discernment is between, like, what is good and what is of God. Like, sometimes there are lots of good things we are asked to do, but what is God asking us to do in a particular situation? And it's been fascinating watching particularly our older boys sort of wrestle with that and recognize that concept, that they actually have to pay attention to what God is saying to them, not just what mum and dad are telling them to do, although they have managed to leverage that against us every now and then.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't care what you're saying, Mom. I just want to listen to God here.
Because that sheep image, which is very big here, is a it's a herd animal thing, isn't it? And it is this idea of we're being called and we're to follow the good shepherd who is going to lead us in the right path. And we've sort of got to hang together. And to be a good shepherd, those who are working for the shepherd, you've got to be gentle. And to throw in Francis's famous analogy, the good pastors, the good shepherds, have the smell of the sheep.
Mm-hmm.
And we want those who exercise leadership in our Christian community to be shepherds after the model of the good shepherd.
I was actually thinking about that move, because often this is also called Vocation Sunday. So often the focus of the homily is on vocation, particularly priestly vocations. And thinking about the priests who have been hugely influential in my life and why that is. And it has not necessarily been, excluding yourself, the most learned priests or the busiest or running the best parishes. But there was one priest in particular who would just get alongside me and ask me how I was and what I was up to in life. And he was someone to talk to, and he had a massive influence on me staying in church in my later teenage years, just purely because I felt welcomed in. Here was a man who was genuinely interested in my well-being and living abundantly. I was also reflecting with that, it's a great opportunity this Sunday for us to be grateful for our priests and to be praying for them and doing things, not that we do a good job of it, but, you know, inviting them around for dinner or being, yeah, just supporting them in their vocation and what they do for us.
And in the homily studio, might I say, give them genuine feedback about their homilies. Tell them, I loved your opening, but you lost me in the middle. Tell them, I thought that line you used was a really good one. That spoke to me. And tell them, today it wasn't one of your great ones. You know, genuine feedback. Try and keep it positive, because otherwise they'll write you off as an enemy. But show them that you listen to them and that you care about what they say. Triana, you were going to say.
You know, I was just going to the notion of the sheep is kind of contrary to how we like to view ourselves in the day in the world today. I think we're very individualistic. It's like everybody's out for themselves. Everybody's, you know, they're hoeing their own future. Whereas this is really talking about the sheep, a collective, like, which is what the church is. It's a community. And I know Merv and I were talking beforehand, and he was raising that important point about the community, that since COVID, we mass attendance has dropped off because people can access it online, but they're missing out on that vital part of the church. The church only functions when we're a group, when we are like a group of sheep. Not that's not in a negative way, but, you know, it's the community that's important. And I quite, I like in this gospel as well, is where Jesus says, "I'm the gate for the sheep." Because when I first read it, I was kind of thinking, gosh, that seems to be the opposite of what the shepherd is, because the gate's like keeping everybody out, and it's very inclusive and eclectic. But then when you think about it, it's actually the security, and it's a safe and secure space. And that's really what our church is, because we're all in this together. That rambling makes any sense. Kind of, yeah. I liked that imagery of them being the gate as well as just being the shepherd.
And this idea, today we're all into your special, you're worth it. We're trying to affirm and encourage and promote excellence, which is all good, but the fact that we're really ordinary, we are people like other people. And we'll live a life like other people have lived life, and that we will go through life as part of a group, a part of a peer group, part of a group of friends, part of a family. And what will happen to us are the ordinary things of life. So I reckon part of church going is a sort of acknowledgement of our ordinariness and our union with other people. And this is why I think the flock is such a good image and such a powerful image. And it's if our age sees it as a negative image, I think they are missing something of what it means to belong. And obviously sheep were a big deal in first century Palestine, because Jesus was walking around country villages, and during the day, he'd tell stories for the women about, you know, baking loaves and lost coin and that sort of thing. And then when the men came home in the evening, he'd tell stories about a seed cast in a field and about shepherds and sheep. And he had all sorts of different sheep stories. And so Christianity's got this big sheep theme running through it, which should really resonate with New Zealanders, but most of us live in cities and our sheep are in the country.
Well, maybe we could equate it to a YouTube influencer and all the subscribers.
Okay, if we were bringing this together and bringing it into land, what's the parting idea from this Sunday that you reckon the homilist ought to try and put across strongly? And you might even relate it back to your opening words.
I would say that life with Christ, we're being invited to live another way, not the way that the world prompts us to, and not even the way we are naturally inclined to, but we can't do it without him, that we need to listen to him and follow in him.
And maybe you've already said it, Trina, with your idea of an influencer. We want our influencer to be the Lord. Mm-hmm. And we want to be open to notifications from him, messages from him, tweets from him, whatever, that put us in the right direction.
I think if we could get an alert, that'd be so much easier. But that's the thing. Like, when do we recognize the voice? Because it's not as blatant as the little red circle on your phone. So how do we recognize Jesus' voice? And that can lead us down that abundant path. I suppose that's my takeaway and challenge for the week.
Okay. To conclude, a prayer to Christ, the Good Shepherd. Good Shepherd, watch over us today in all we face and experience. Never leave us or forsake us, and journey with us always. You know us as no one else knows us. Guard us and keep us as you guard and keep those whom we love. Good Shepherd, we pray for the sick and the lonely, for the anxious and the bereaved, for those whose pain is beyond our comprehension. We stand with them and commend them to your care. You know the depths of our heart and the fears which are ours. Speak into the depths of our heart and calm our fears. Good Shepherd, you know us by our name, and our identity is not hidden from you. Gather us to yourself as a shepherd gathers the sheep, that we might know your name. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen.
Amen.